Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father in heaven, we are grateful for this beautiful opportunity to gather at your feet to hear your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way amongst us. Arrest our hearts, change our hearts, transform our minds in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you for filling us and transforming us in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and sit on top of your enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. And this afternoon, I want to continue sharing with you about tithing. Amen. I want to continue sharing with you. We're sharing from this beautiful book that is written by our father, the prophet. Wonderful book. It says, Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor and How Tithing Christians Can Become Rich. And today we want to talk about some of the things that happen every time you tithe. The things that happen every time you tithe. We've been talking so much about tithing these few weeks, these past 2 weeks. We've been talking about tithing, and I believe that God has been speaking to you. God has been talking to you. And this is a very powerful message, and it's something that we have to take to heart. Now, I want to show you some of the things that happen every time that you tithe. Number one, every time you tithe, you honor God. Every time you tithe, you honor God. Hallelujah. Every time you tithe, you show respect to God. Amen. God receives the honor of you giving the first part of your income to Him. Hallelujah. When you give the first part of your income to God, you are showing Him great respect. Amen. Now, this is the greatest respect that you can show to the Lord. Are you listening? Is the greatest respect that you can show to the Lord. Your tithe, giving of your tithe to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you hear, you see in this scripture that your primary focus in paying your tithe is to honor God. The primary reason for paying your tithe is to honor God. Hallelujah. One aspect of worshiping or serving God is through your giving. That is one aspect of worshiping God. Amen. Now, giving really indicates where your heart is. You know, giving in all forms indicates where your heart is. What is precious to you is where you give. Are you listening? So giving to the Lord just shows the Lord where your heart is, how your heart is in relative to Him. So when you give to God, you are actually indicating that He is precious to you. Whenever you pay your tithe, you are showing God that you will honor Him. He is precious. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening? Because one of our primary purpose, one of our primary purpose in creation is to worship God. That is one of our primary purpose. In Isaiah 43 and verse 21, Isaiah 43 verse 21, the Bible says, "This people have I formed for myself." These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. God formed you to show forth his praise. So if you fail to show forth the praises of God through your life, through your giving, you have failed the primary purpose for which you were formed. Is somebody listening? Now, you don't look at your tithe as some form of an investment. Don't look at tithe as some kind of investment that you are making, that you are expecting a return. That aspect is of God. But for you, he says, give to honor me. That is your portion. So whenever you are paying your tithe, have the focus of honoring God. That the reason why you come with your tithe is to honor God. And he says, he will choose to bless you. He will choose to give you plenty in your barns. He will choose to give you an overflow. Hallelujah. That is his decision. Amen. So don't give with the mind that I am making an investment. But give to God in honor of who he is. Hallelujah. Number two, I'm almost done with the preaching. Number two, every time you tithe, you remember God. Every time you tithe, you remember God. Hallelujah. Tithing demonstrates that you remember God. When you take off a tenth of your increase and you give to God, you are demonstrating to him that you remember him. Hallelujah. And there is a strong exhortation to remember God. To remember all the things that the Lord has done for you. The Bible gives a strong exhortation for that. Hallelujah. It is easy for many people to forget about God. It is very easy. Do you agree? It is very easy for people to forget about God. And that is why it is in the scriptures. To give to God as a sign that you remember him. That you remember him. You remember what he has done for you. Hallelujah. You acknowledge him. Amen. You see, many of you will have different attitude towards God and towards his church if only you remember what his hand has done in your life. You will change your attitude. If constantly you remember what God has done for you, your attitude towards him will change. I tell you, your attitude towards the church will change. Amen. But people easily forget. Hallelujah. If you can remember some difficult and impossible situation that God delivered you from, if constantly that is on your mind, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? You know, sometimes, someone does something to you and you get so angry with the person. You get very angry with the person, and sometimes you can even get revengeful. And you plan to do something to show the person that you don't appreciate what the person did. And then suddenly you remember some good thing that person did for you. And then you change your mind about everything that... Have you experienced that before? You remember some good thing that the person did for you, and suddenly what he did or she did for you to you to hurt you suddenly becomes useless. Even your plans of revenge goes away. So if we can always remember what God has done, our attitude towards him will change. Our attitude towards his church will change.
Hallelujah. How God lifted you up from some miry clay when you were sinking, when you were going down. How God sustained you and held your hand. How you almost became homeless. Almost. You were down to your last rent. Do you remember? Amen. So if you can remember moments like that, hallelujah, the way some of you respond to church things and respond to God's things and respond to God, sometimes it looks as if God has not done anything for you. Your attitude towards the things of God, it shows as if God has not done anything for you. Is somebody listening? Some of you even fight people who are doing things on behalf of the church. You fight them. You say things to them as if they are working for some company. People who are working for God. God's messengers, God's ministers. They approach you to do something for God. You are angry. Can't you not remember what God has done for you? Can't you remember? Amen. And sometimes it is through these things that God was able to also lift you up from that miry clay. If you can remember, your attitude will change. I tell you, your attitude will change. Amen. If only you can remember. Hallelujah. But we tend to forget. Amen. Look at this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. We are reading from verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. It says, beware. Say beware. Beware. Tell your neighbor, beware.
Beware.
Wow. This is, you know, have you seen a sign in front of somebody's house before? It says, beware of dogs. That's a big warning. Beware of dogs. It means if you are not, you don't beware, dogs will bite you. Be alert. That means don't walk in recklessly. Beware. Call before you enter. Ring the bell, let somebody come in. Somebody come for you. Beware of dogs. When they put sign like that, it means the dogs inside are dangerous. Because if it is a nice pet, beautiful pet that plays with people, do they put beware of dogs? But here the scripture is saying, beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. It means forgetting the Lord thy God is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous. So the scripture says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment. In not keeping his commandment. So one of the ways that we forget God is not keep his commandment. To not keep his commandment. That shows God that you don't remember him. You are not careful of him. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Wow. So that is how we forget God. That we do not keep his commandment. Galatians 6 and verse 10. It says, as we have therefore this opportunity, let us do good to who? All men. Let us do good to who? But then there are particular people that God is very particular with. He says, as you have an opportunity, whenever you have an opportunity, do good to all men. Then he says, especially. There are some people who are very special to God. He says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good to them. Do good to them. Do good to them. We do good to our co-workers. When our co-workers are organizing things and they are asking for help, who will do this? Who will bring this? Who will do that? Who will do this? We are happy to contribute. We are happy and respectfully respond to them. But God says, when you are doing that, when it comes to the household of faith, when it comes to the church people, do it with special care. Do it specially. But you see, we trivialize the things of the church. We trivialize the things of the church. We are asking you to do this for the church. It's as if you are doing God a great favor. Because you see, you don't understand the payback. You don't understand how God pays back. Your understanding of God's payback is limited. That when you do things in the house of God, the payback is nothing compared to your little paycheck that you do.
Is somebody listening? You see, you don't like my message. But I'm preaching. I'm preaching a good message. It says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Which I command thee this day. Beware that you do not forget. Lest, you see, this is the key. Lest means otherwise. If you don't pay your tithe, if you don't remember God, you see, because when you are paying your tithe, you will remember God. You know that you will never take this money to give to anyone. So when you are taking it, God is in your mind. Are you listening? God is in your mind. He says, do this. Otherwise, and this is what will happen. He says, otherwise, lest when thou hast eaten and art full. When you have eaten and you are full. We are not talking about when you were hungry that you didn't have a job. Are you listening? We are talking about when you have eaten and you are full. When your refrigerator has food and you don't even know which one to eat. Not when you open and there's only one ball of kenke left. I mean, sometimes some of your refrigerators, when you open it, you feel very sad. You go to somebody's house and you open the refrigerator and you come to your house and you open, you say, oh God, why? Why? This is not the period we are talking about. He's talking about when there's abundance. He says, when thou hast otherwise, when you have eaten and you are full, and you have built goodly houses. You have built goodly houses. I'm not talking about when you are sleeping in somebody's living room. When they are coming in, they wake up, especially when they want to kick you out. When they want to kick you out, they know you are sleeping in the living room. Everyone in the house will come to the bathroom through the living room and turn on the light when you are sleeping. It means it's time to move. And you have no job. Or you don't understand, you have never experienced this thing before. You see, because when you come the first week you are welcome. They are excited to have you. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, no interview. No interview. 1 month. How is the job search? No interview. They have not called you. You see, the first week, the second week, when they are coming, they are going to the bathroom in the night, they tiptoe. You know, nobody wants to wake you up. Respectfully, they tiptoe. So you don't wake up. You don't hear anything. 1 month and no interview. Oh, they come in the living room and turn on the light. They are going to the bathroom. And when they finish, they flush it loud.
You see, some of you don't understand what I'm talking about. They flash it loud. And then when you wake up at that time, you go on your knees. You pray. You pray, Lord, how many interviews, how many applications have I put in? Amen. Sometimes people do things behind the wall to just mess your life up. You don't know. Just to mess you up. You can't sleep. Or you don't understand. You are behaving like a child, huh? You see, my Bacenta members are here, so we are young. Can't you see? Yeah. It says, when you have built goodly houses, not now that you have your own apartment, you have your living room. Hey, your living room, you have a bedroom. You have a place where you sit to eat. All for you. From the couch. He says, when thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, no one is moving you. You are there. You pay your own rent. You pay your own mortgage. And when thy herds and thy flock multiply, that means it's booming. When you get the paycheck, you look at it and the smile comes from here to there. You smile big. And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. That means your bank account is getting fatter. I mean, you sometimes, when you look at your bank account, I mean, you just laugh. You say, wow, look what the Lord has done. And now you start thinking about driver's license. You start thinking about my own car. I'm tired of this metro card. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the buses. Going the bus, the crowd. I can't stand the crowd. I can't stand the crowd. Driver's license. You are passed. And then you are looking for brothers to find you a car. Hey! You get out and then you roll your keys. You roll your keys. Your car keys and your apartment keys. Your mailbox, your personal mailbox key on it. You have come far. Clap for yourself. You have come far.
Rev, they called me for an interview for my citizenship. Can you pray for me?
Hey! Wow! Wow! Say wow! Wow! They call you for your what?
Oh, Rev.
Wow! He says, and your gold is multiplied. And all that thou hast is multiplied. Everything is multiplied. You open your closet, the shoes, when you look at the shoes, it's multiplied. Now you think of this dress matches with this pair of shoes, with this handbag. Everything is multiplied.
You don't know this story. It says, then, listen. It says, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. This is what happens. This is what happens. This is when we talk to you, oh, we are doing this. Can you help this?
Can you believe what she told me? That I should come and help clean the place. He says, you forget. When you don't acknowledge God through your tithe, you forget. You forget where he lifted you up from. He says, then thou forget the Lord thy God. Who did what? Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. From the house of bondage. From the house of bondage. If you don't come in at 8 o'clock, the door is locked. This church Sunday is too much. We are all going for this adoring. We are going here. You have to come. You are in bondage. He says, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought. There was no water. You know, God is describing difficult situation that no man can help you. And I believe almost everyone has faced some type of situation that no man can help you. God intentionally does that to bring you to a situation where no man can help you. Says, wherein there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? No man can do that. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he may humble thee? Intention was to humble you. The difficult situation was to humble you, to give you the spirit of humility, to be humble in spirit, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. God intended to do you good at your latter end. The suffering was just to humble you. The difficulty you are going through today, God is just teaching you to be humble. Hallelujah. When you have learned that spirit, God's plan is to do you good at the latter end. When he has done, when he has finished, when he's done with you, when he sees that you are filled with the spirit of humility, he's ready to now do you good. The suffering, the pain, the things that make you cry, the thing that you want so badly that you cannot have. You are still filled with pride. God is not done with you. Because when he's done with you, when he has filled you with the spirit of humility, at the latter end, he wants to do you good. When you have learned to be humble, he wants to do you good. When you have learned to acknowledge him, that he's important, that your life wraps around him, that he's important in your life. When he has accomplished that, he's ready to do you good. He's ready to bless you. He says he took you through this wilderness. He took you through this pain. He took you through this challenge only to teach you humility. But many of us, we are humble when we are going through the difficulty. We are humble, and at the end, when he has done with that, then thy heart be lifted up. Your heart is lifted up. Can you remember? Can you remember what God did for you? Can you remember? Is somebody listening to me? You see, no one forgets God in their difficulty. No one forgets God in their poverty. No one forgets God. You will not forget God when you were hungry, when you didn't know where the next meal was coming from, when you almost needed to go to the food pantry. You're wearing some hat and hoodie to join the food pantry line. As you are walking there, you are remembering God. that the Lord will deliver you from joining this line. The Lord, let it be the last time I'm coming here. Amen. No one forgets God when they need a job so badly. No one forgets God. You can't forget God when you needed just 50% to remain in that program. Just 50% on this test. Because they're about to kick you out. You can't forget God at that time. You cannot forget God. You needed them to overlook this mistake. You can't forget God at that time. You remember God. You need God. Because that time, they don't know you. They can't consider that person cannot help you. But you know that God can intervene. And you remember God. No one forgets God in their difficulty. No one forgets God in their difficulty. No one forgets God when they are going through some challenge that no man can help you. When no one can help you. Are you listening to me? After you have failed the test and failed the test and failed the test and you are almost giving up, you pray. You remember God. You remember God. See, no one can relate with this message. I want you to see, God is intentionally reminding you of the difficulty that he brought you through. He's intentionally reminding you. Hallelujah. And I say, everyone has faced a situation where no man could help you. No man could help you. Amen. It says, intention was to do thee good at thy latter end. You know, and all of that part which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and took you through the wilderness and fed you with manna and so on. God was just reminding you of the difficulty. But the scripture reads from, thou forget the Lord thy God and thou say in thine heart. When you forget God, this is the danger of not acknowledging God with your tithe. Because then you say in your heart that my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. That is why you don't give in the church. That is why you don't give. Have you not said it before? Do you think money we pluck from the tree? Do you think every time asking, give this. That is why you behave like that. That is why. These people, they don't know how hard we work. That is why you are saying that my power, my might, my degree has acquired me this. That is what you are saying. They don't know how hard we work. Every time, give. What is this? Give. We are tired. Adam, we are tired. Give. Have you heard someone say that before? You see, you ought to dissociate yourself with people who talk like that. You have to. Whenever you hear someone talk like that, it's not a person to bond with. That is a person who is an enemy sent to steal your blessing. It's changing your heart towards God. Dissociate from people like that. And people like that, they make closer association with people and attach other people to this. It's an enemy's work. I'm revealing great secret to you. It is a secret weapon of the enemy to target one person and then uses that person to talk like that. And sometimes turn off the people who are even doing the work of God. Are you listening? God is delivering you. God wants to bless you. God has good plans for you. Hallelujah. His intentions are good. His intentions are good. God does not need your money. God does not need your money. What I can tell you is that with or without you, the church will go on. With or without you, the church will go on. I tell you, it is Jesus who has said, I will build my church.
I will build my church. So when God is including you in what he's doing, he's looking at what your heart is. Are you worthy of being included in my blessing, in my church? And he asks of you because that is where your treasure is. That is where your treasure is. Amen. I remember many years ago when the presiding bishop used to come around, you know, raising funds. People used to talk, raising funds. But God gave him the courage, the shamelessness to stand in and raise. And whatever he got, he will use it. Today, look at what the church has become. Are you listening? Today, look at what the Bible school has become. So if at the foundation of the Bible school you gave that $25, $50 that he was asking as a foundation, you gave, you have a portion in this great thing that God has done. You have a portion in it. And with or without the memories, God built the Bible school. And it's a great Bible school. Hallelujah. It says, you say in your heart, my power and my might had gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is God who gives you power to get wealth. God is one who gives people power to get wealth. And he wants you to remember that. That he may establish the covenant which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, listen, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, and you say, Reverend, we have no other gods. God says anything that you put before him is a god to you. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So anything that becomes a priority in your life in relative to God, that becomes a god to you. If your job takes precedence over God, if you have a choice between going to work extra time versus coming to church, and you choose going to work extra time, that has become a god to you. Oh, you don't understand. He says, thou at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you. This is Moses speaking to the people. I testify against you this day that he shall surely perish. If you forget God, you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face. So shall ye perish because ye will not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, beloved, do not forget the Lord thy God. We have several points. We can't go over all of them. Let me just run through these points quickly. And then the next one, every time you tithe, you show your respect for holy things. You show respect for holy things. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Many Christians are not afraid of holy things. Many Christians do not honor holy things. They treat holy things as though they are ordinary things. Are you listening? God sets the tithe aside as holy thing. In the book of Leviticus 27 and verse 23, it says the tithe is holy unto the Lord. So your tithe is holy. God treats it, the first fruits of your increase, a tenth of your increase, as holy. And he says, anytime you treat it any other way, you are treating it as unholy. So, for instance, if you use your tithe to pay for your car loan, you have treated the tithe as an unholy thing.
If you use a tithe to pay for your school loans, you have treated a tithe as an holy thing. You think God understands. You think that your school loan has to be paid. You have treated a tithe as an holy thing. Amen. You use a tithe to pay for your rent. You use a tithe to do your hair. Amen.
The next one, it says, every time you tithe, you demonstrate your belief in eternity. You demonstrate your belief in eternity. Hallelujah. And the scripture is Matthew 6, 19 to 20. It says, lay not up treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So whenever you tithe, you demonstrate your belief. You are laying up your treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. And finally, the last one, every time you tithe, you demonstrate your knowledge of the source of your blessings. Whenever you tithe, you demonstrate your knowledge of the source of your blessings. Hallelujah. I'll give you the scripture and then you can read at home. Okay. The scripture is Hosea chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 8 to 9. And then 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 to 14. Write them down and you can read them. I just want to read the Hosea scripture. It says, for she did not know that I gave her corn. You see, this is what God is saying to the non-tither, the one who does not pay his tithe. He says, this person, and God was talking to the people of Israel about not honoring him. He says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver. That is a person who is not knowledgeable of that, that blessing is from God. He says, she did not know that I multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal, didn't bring to me. Therefore, will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. God is going to take all of that from you because you do not acknowledge him. Amen. Listen, these things are real. They are real things. Okay? You may say that you know unbelievers who do not care about God, who have so much wealth. They have so much money. Let me tell you, God has taken that from them already. They see the money. They see the wealth. They see large bank accounts. They see their large investments. But they are some of the most miserable people in the world. Let me just read one scripture to you and then we close. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 1. This is one of the richest people who ever lived. And he wrote this as the Lord ministered to him. He says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. And it is common among men. Say, it is common among men. It is not a rare entity. It is common among men. That means it's very common. This evil is very common. He says, a man to whom God has given riches. Listen. A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired. So this is someone that has so much money. Do you know anyone who has so much money that they have no need of anything?
They can buy any house they want, buy any car they want, fly anywhere they want, own anything they want. Own houses at the most expensive areas. He says, a man who has been given all of that by God, riches and honor, that he does not have any lack of his soul's desires, yet, say yet, yet God given him not power to eat thereof. God does not give him the power to eat thereof. I am telling you, wealth you can have, riches you can have, honor you can have. People will bow to you. People will salute you. People will respect you. People will treat you as a wealthy man, rich man. But the honor, the power to eat of your wealth, it comes from God. No man can give you that. No man can give you that. That is why you see rich, wealthy people miserable in their mansions, committing suicide in their mansions. Why? Because they refuse to acknowledge God. They refuse to acknowledge God. They have so much wealth that they don't acknowledge God. They go crazy. They don't know what to do anymore. They come to their wives and say, I'm not the man anymore. I don't know what I am. I'm not a man anymore. After all these years, you have children. I'm sorry. All these years, I have not been a man. See, you see, the power to enjoy the wealth and the honor. You see, there is grace that comes out. That power to enjoy it, it comes from God. It comes from God. It comes from God. It comes from God. That you refuse to acknowledge God. He says, refusing to acknowledge God, God gave them back up to reprobate minds. Their minds reprobate as if they are animals. Worse than animals. Miserable, disappointed, angry in life. Dying prematurely. Dying of drug abuse. Oh, you don't know these stories. He says, God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity and it's an evil disease. It's an evil disease. You see that the maids in your house, they enjoy. They eat, they cook and they eat. And you see the maids, they are fat. They are heavy. The maids in the house. The whole house is for them. You are depressed in the corner of your large bedroom. Huge bedroom that starts from here to that end. You alone. But you are in the corner and you don't want to see anyone. Miserable. And their face, they clean the whole house and they enjoy the outside. They sit outside and bathe in the sun. He says, God will give that wealth for others to enjoy. For others to enjoy. For others to enjoy. Amen. Recently, there were some things in the news that this homeless lady in, I think, one of those, I think the Hamptons, when the people have traveled and they have gone out, she goes through she checks the mansions, the ones whose back doors are open. She checks. Some homeless woman, she checks, and if your back door is open, she just comes in. The whole family is gone on vacation. She just comes. And the food is in the fridge. The whole house. The pool is in the backyard. Everything, the whole house is to her. And she enjoys it. She enjoys it. And then when she's done, she leaves. She moves. Go to the next house in another community. Did that several times. They didn't find who it was. They saw her in the cameras. They didn't know who she was until finally the cops got her. But she had enjoyed. The power to enjoy your wealth, it comes from God. If God does not give you that power, some other person will enjoy your wealth. Put your hands together for the Lord and rise to your feet. Let us bring the service to a close.
Father, we are grateful and thankful for this great revelation. Lord, forgive us. We repent. Oh God, we repent for forgetting you and not acknowledging you. Not acknowledging your hand when you lifted us up from the miry clay. Oh God, have mercy upon us. How our attitude has been towards your work, towards the church, towards the things of God. Lord, forgive us for treating holy things as ordinary things. We repent from our sins. Help us, Lord. And Lord, remove the difficulties that make us eat the tithe thereof. Any challenge situations that tempt us to eat what belongs to you and treat holy things as unholy. Forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to pray for anyone who is here who wants to give his or her life to Christ. You are here this afternoon. You want to give your life to Christ. If that is you, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that is your prayer, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. God is here to save. God is here to save. Oh, yes. God is here to save. Now, I want you to lift up your hands, everyone, and just repeat this prayer with me. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Lord, I have sinned against you. Let the blood of Jesus wash me and cleanse me and purify me. Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.